This episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast is brought to you by Pure Hemp Botanicals, who look to serve their customers with a full line of sustainable vegan CBD products created with compassion. We are super proud to partner with purebotanicals.com, and keep listening to the show for info on how you can get 20% off of your first purchase later in this episode. I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back, and today on the show, we are going to be talking to Josh Hyde. He is the filmmaker behind the documentary film American Hemp, and he's got a new Amazon Prime docu-series called American Hemp, The Evolution Continues. It's a really cool conversation, and we get into some of the ins and outs of independent filmmaking, why he chose hemp, and how you can find amazing topics within a few miles of your own house. So I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to talk a little bit about how you can choose the best CBD oil for your needs. We get a ton of questions on the show via our phone number. You can call me at any time, 402-819-6417, with your questions. And I get a bunch of emails, too, to matt@ministryofhemp.com with people saying, how do I pick the right CBD oil for me? And a lot of them have stories that sound like they spent a bunch of money on something that didn't work for them, or they tried something that seemed too cheap and didn't work, and that is a danger. The good news is we have an amazing guide over at ministryofhemp.com. It's the world's most trusted CBD oil resource is the title, and it's basically a CBD buying guide. Everything from what is CBD to a video on our buying guide and information on how CBD works and how it affects the body, it's all there. There's information on all kinds of CBD oil products like tinctures, capsules, topicals, CBD skincare products, vapes, gummies, and edibles. It's all here. And there's a huge frequently asked questions section too. We just completely redid this guide, and it is such a great way to answer your own questions or even to share with a family member or friend that is having questions about what kind of CBD oil might be best for them. You can check it out at ministryofhemp.com/CBD. And I can't stress what a great resource this is and the amount of work that went into it. I'm just a podcast guy, so I had very little to do with it, but I will trumpet it because it's a great page with a lot of great information. Get over there and check it out. Josh Hyde is my guest today on the show. He is a filmmaker out of Boulder, Colorado, and he's got a few films under his belt. Most recently, he's been working on a new Amazon Prime series called American Hemp, The Evolution Continues, and it is basically a continuation of the documentary he made called American Hemp. Both are really well produced, very informational, and excellent shows. Josh sat down with me from his home in Boulder, Colorado, and here's our conversation. So is Colorado, was that sort of your entryway to this hemp world? Or how did you get here? Before we even get into making the movie and stuff, how did you come to find hemp and decide that it was going to be a passion?
I guess like any kid growing up, I grew up in the Midwest.
Okay.
And you experiment with different things.
Did you grow up in Colorado?
I was a pot kid. No, I grew up in Illinois.
Oh, okay. I'm a Nebraska guy, so Midwest.
Oh.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I was more of a marijuana kid
sure.
in the high school.
Sure.
And then that led to me making films. And so I studied at my hometown college, which was Southern Illinois University. And then from there, I just learned how to make films.
That's sort of what marijuana does, though. You either get in a band or you start making movies, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you cook in restaurants.
You know? Yep. Which all of my friends did.
Yeah.
You know?
So you went to school for filmmaking, you said?
Yeah, I went to school. And then after that, I went and I had specialized within documentary filmmaking.
Okay.
And so I went and I did internships at different documentary production houses in Chicago. And then I realized I wanted to be able to write and direct feature films with actors.
Cool.
And a script. And so from there, what I did was I went back to graduate school. And then I went to graduate school at Ohio University. And then I made some of my first short films with actors. And then from there, those films got into different film festivals. And then I learned how to traverse that reality. But there was always still something there within the documentary filmmaking space.
Just kept pulling you back.
Because it's so accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pulling me back because, you know, as a filmmaker, if you want to write a script and then get actors, that's a whole other process and specialization. Whereas with a documentary, you can focus on something and just start filming it. And the same story points apply within storytelling and filmmaking, but you're just applying them to real life characters.
So was it the control of the subject? Is that like the idea to put it under a microscope? Is that what appealed to you? Like I'm gonna pick whatever, and say my documentary is going to be about this and I can control that and I don't have to worry about ego of this actor or actress or producer or money person.
I think there's always that level of reality within the entertainment industry,
right?
The level of politics and the level of ego. And so for me, I have to make films. Like, that's what I enjoy. And so I have to put myself in a position to make one film after another film.
Sure.
And sometimes when you're bound in one world or the other world, whether it be the documentary filmmaking reality or the feature film with actor reality and like a larger budget, then like you kind of can't make as many films. But because I can make a documentary or a narrative film, I can kind of pick and choose. And so if it takes me a year to two to like write a script, I can write the script. But in the meantime, I can also be working on a documentary.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I made a couple feature films. And so I did that. But my second feature film was a spiritual stoner comedy that we shot in Chicago.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell me.
And so it was called
My
Friend's Rubber Ducky.
Oh, no. My Friend's Rubber Ducky. That's a great name. Where can we see that? Is that any place? Can I find that?
Oh yeah, that's everywhere. That's on iTunes.
Nice.
That's on, I guess, everywhere where movies stream. I'm just trying to think of the other places. I know it's on iTunes, with Google Play, YouTube, all the other streaming portals.
Any place you can find downloadable movies, basically.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. So it's available within the United States and the UK.
Cool.
And I think Canada and other countries.
So tell me about American Hemp, the film that sort of spawned this series. Where did that idea come from? Like, why go out of your way? You said yourself, when you were younger, you were a marijuana kid, and there's tons of documentaries about marijuana out there, but hemp seems to be not like less popular, but maybe a tougher subject to tackle, if you know what I mean. Why'd you make that choice?
So I wanted to make another film. And I had finished the spiritual stoner comedy and I was living in Colorado and I wanted to work on a longer film for a longer period of time.
Right.
And so I came up with a couple different rules, and like the rules were everything has to be within 6 to 20 miles around my house.
Okay.
And then I was like there also has to be some type of brand that leads to grocery store shelves.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going here. So it was like a farm to table sort of idea.
Yeah.
In Boulder. There's farms there, obviously. One happens to be a hemp farm.
Yep. And then one of the films I had worked on before, or at least helped put together, or at least helped start, was this Steve Madden documentary. So my interest in that was a case study to see if you did a documentary about an entrepreneur that makes high heel shoes.
Sure.
And then the film is linked to a brick and mortar retail business.
Right.
And so you basically get marketing capital out of the film. But what I wanted to do was see if you could apply that same thing to something more important or something like food. And
gotcha.
So in the end, I did the research and it turned out that the industrial hemp division was 4 miles from my house.
Oh.
And then after that, I was like, okay, that's easy. And then I knew I had to pick a food brand because CBD was still in the space, but you know, hemp is more than just CBD. So I ended up talking to a lot of people and I settled on Evo Hemp just because they seem to understand the possibility of using the documentary film also for marketing.
Right.
And so while I was filming over 2 years, I could basically take anything that was on the cutting room floor and just throw it into some type of short 1 minute clip.
That's awesome.
And so,
they can use that as well.
That's very cool. So that versus it being exclusive and like waiting 2 years for the footage to work and actually build an audience around the story and a community around the story, we could start releasing aspects of the film and just package it in different ways for these 1 minute clips, these 2 minute clips. And essentially when you're filming for a long period of time, you're filming so much that you're only going to use, you know, 5 minutes of 7 hours.
Right. But you've also got this stuff edited that you've already got sitting on the shelf. You go, oh, you know what would work well there? That scene of this, pluck it out, drop it in iMovie or what? Not that you're using iMovie. I'm sure you use something cooler than that. But
oh, no. I use iMovie.
I'm nice. I do too. Like, yeah, I'm a film director too, bro. I get it, you know?
I was just joking. I use Adobe Premiere, but like...
Oh, okay. Now you make me look bad. I'll use a variety.
Well, I mean, you have to use a variety of programs sometimes.
Right.
So like, it just depends for the actual need.
Sure.
I knew I was tracking a lot of footage over a long period of time, and a lot of the edits I would have to do would have to, you know, be a lot more complex. Whereas if I was just doing more straight editing stuff, then I could probably use iMovie.
So tell me about Evo Hemp. What drew you to those guys specifically? And don't tell me it's just because they were close to your house.
They were also...
I mean, if they happen to be, that's fine. But I mean, I just hope that's not the only reason. You know?
Well, they checked off the first box, which was...
They were close to your house.
They were about 7 miles away from my house. But also the second box was something like a Steve Madden situation where you had a young brand that had national growth and national potential.
Right.
And because they were specializing in food, they would be able to vet the retail market before most CBD brands could.
Sure, sure.
You know? So that checked it off. And then the fact that they were a lot forward thinking in that they wanted to use a lot of the extra footage. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be great. And so we started leaking some of the extra footage. The extra footage started to work to build the direct-to-consumer online business.
Right.
And so as the film was going, we were able to leak the footage and then get it out as a form of culture building, which eventually becomes, you know, marketing through content.
Yeah.
You know?
Their website is pretty slick, and I assume most of that is you then.
Not the website as much as the video content.
The video on the website. Sorry, and my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I ended up producing most of the video over the last 2 years. And so my contract ended about 6 months ago. So, but it's good because we're all on good terms. And then I was able to vet a lot of different strategies.
That's not a bad idea too, because you approach them and say, I want to make this film and I will let you use any video you want for your stuff. So you can make a little money as well. You said your contract, because I mean, obviously you're a millionaire and you don't worry about money as a small time film director, director. But that makes sense. I mean, yeah, that's awesome. When you approached them, were they just 100% in? Like, yeah, let's do it. We're down.
Unfortunately, as a filmmaker, I'm not a millionaire. And so.
Oh, come on.
One day, but today is not that day.
Sure, sure. I hear you.
I think what I did is I went in there, and when I talked with them, they realized the potential, because most brands, whether you're a hemp brand or even a food brand, only have between 10 and 20 or 30%, if you're lucky, to spend on marketing.
Right.
And so if you're building up capital and building up your yearly revenue from 1 million to 3 million to 5 million to 10 million.
Yeah, which sounds like a lot, but still 10% of that. I mean, that doesn't go real far with marketing.
Yeah, and that's if everybody's ducks are in a row.
Right.
And so sometimes those margins are different for all kinds of products, but then they kind of equal out somewhere. And so for me, I knew that I wanted to make a film. And so if they could give me access, then I would be graceful enough to just partner on the marketing.
Cool.
Because I wanted to prove that it could work, that if you could put that much content into the algorithms, because what's unique about the hemp space is it's hard to have really good paid boosted advertising.
Absolutely.
With like video content.
Absolutely.
And so we can still boost content, but it's got to be photographic, ambiguous in nature.
Yeah.
Someone walking on a beach,
right.
A cloud in the sky with the sunset that yeah. says, relax.
Right. Like the pharmaceutical commercials where you're just like, what is this a commercial for? Like a guy is like, at a clam bake, you know, or something. And then yep. there's another dude that's like organizing his garage. And you're like, what are we selling? You know, and like turns out they all have psoriasis of the kidneys, you know, or something. Like,
you know, it's true. It's true. This is really, really true.
So you make this movie, American Hemp, that premieres. Where do you premiere that at? Where does that come out?
So the whole goal was to just release that online on Amazon Prime. Cool. And then we also did iTunes, Apple TV, and a couple other ones, I think. And so we did that streaming, but slowly what we realized is as more views came in, a lot of the marketing that was being put around the film was all hemp products.
Yeah.
So in a way, making more hemp content kind of makes a case for Amazon to say, oh, look, we've got approved hemp products. Well, now we can market it around this hemp series.
Sure.
And then you started to see a lot of different hemp movies and cannabis movies being auto-suggested.
A bunch are out there now. So, and not all of them yeah. are great. I will say, and I'm not going to talk smack or anything, but I will say the stuff that you have done is pretty slick, man. And it looks really good and not in like that sort of... There's certain docuseries that I love watching because they're not trying to pound a message home, but they are trying to inform and educate and do so in an interesting way. Like there's music playing in the background and stuff. There's good photography. And your show kind of checked off all those boxes. At first, when you mentioned, like, you had called and left me a message on our Ministry of Hemp line, and I was like, oh boy, let's check this out. <You know? laughs> And started watching it. I was like, this is really good, you know? Like, I'm totally impressed. We'll be right back with more of my conversation with Josh. But first, the Ministry of Hemp is super proud to partner with another Colorado native, Pure Hemp Botanicals. Their mantra, compassion and action, guides Pure Hemp Botanicals in both their work and relationships while serving a growing community of evolving hearts and minds to produce sustainable, plant-based, vegan, and cruelty-free products while seeking to raise hemp awareness and inspire others to adopt an attitude of compassion themselves. Pure Hemp Botanicals has a full line of CBD products, including soft gel capsules, tinctures, vape oils, mints, and even crystals that can be used in drinks, edibles, or vaporizing devices. They also have a Hempalicious, and I know I'm saying that wrong, I apologize, hemp tea. It's caffeine-free, and it reminds me very much of green tea in flavor. Pure Hemp Botanicals were nice enough to send me some samples, and I've really been enjoying their 1500 milligram full-spectrum tincture. I used it today to help me focus and get this podcast done, as a matter of fact. Check out their products at purehempbotanicals.com and be sure to use the code MINISTRY20, that's capital M, MINISTRY20 at checkout to get 20% off your order and let them know that we sent you. Again, I want to say a huge thanks to Pure Hemp Botanicals for partnering with us. And we're really careful when we make these partnerships. We fully vet these companies and these guys are doing it right. They're using hemp plants that are nurtured with tender, loving care from expert growers. They've got easily accessible third-party lab tests, and they even give a portion of their proceeds to Mercy for Animals, MFA, who is a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to promoting compassionate food choices and bringing an end to cruel animal farming practices. Head to purehempbotanicals.com, use the code MINISTRY20 to get 20% off your purchase. Pure Hemp Botanicals, organically grown and produced with love in Colorado. And now back to my conversation with Josh Hyde. because from what I understand, when you come to like Amazon Prime or iTunes or whoever streaming service, you go, I got a movie. They go, great, let's stream it, pretty much. They make sure it's not porn, more or less, and they go, let's stream it, you know? How do you go from that to producing a series for Amazon Prime? How does that happen?
So, because I started as a filmmaker, a lot of what I'm doing is basically filmmaking applied to the hemp story,
right,
and the hemp industry. And so, you know, my goal was to just make the story accessible to people so that it could speak to both sides of the issue.
Yeah.
Meaning the conservative and the more liberal and the more progressive side.
And you did a great job.
See hemp as an option.
You did a great job on that, by the way, because you're not demonizing anybody. And I get. Yeah. I totally get why it's easy to demonize the other side, but doing so makes you just as bad as someone who's demonizing you, you know? And I really appreciate that you did a nice job on that in your show, just saying, look, yeah, there is another argument here. There definitely is. And presenting it as such. But back to what we were saying, I'm sorry. Moving it to a series within Amazon.
Yeah, and so I felt after watching the movie that there were more stories that I wasn't able to even talk about.
Right.
So like trying to keep it focused on the characters moving through a time and space in the hemp industry, just so people could meet a large scale farmer, a small scale farmer,
yeah,
someone bringing hemp food to the industry that was then bringing hemp CBD to the industry. I realized that there were so many other stories that I needed to keep telling them, because I had kind of uncovered this, in a way, unique world and industry that is just emerging.
Right.
And so there are a lot of people in the hemp industry that you can demonize, you know? And so in a way, I realized that that's the easy part of it. But how do we tell a story about people using hemp for some type of economic redevelopment or some type of small business entrepreneur just starting with his first water-soluble hemp product?
Sure.
Because I realized there were so many big companies in the space that you can't really, when you tell their story, it's not as interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like,
you know, like
this conglomerate was so brave when they took 0.04% of their billion-dollar profits and applied it to,
yeah.
Not much of a story there.
Yeah. And like, you know, their initiatives, because of studying the space, you see people who will put their marketing dollars towards making a new label.
Right.
And it's like, I get it, but you know, you making a new label every 2 years just means you have extra profits and money.
Right.
And you haven't figured out actual marketing yet.
Yeah.
Because rebranding is an easy thing that the next wave of people you bring in,
sure,
to basically fix the problem.
Oh, look, it's
they
new
always
again.
Go with like rebranding, re-logoing, right, and you're like, dude, that's going to make it easier for you to sell. But let's be honest here, there's other ways to do it. And so I think going deeper with story and like video was one of the kind of ideas. And then I also realized too that if I started making the series, we could expand it from Colorado.
Yeah.
And so I could start to film a California lab who's just becoming the first hemp lab. I could try to make a short episode on the first CBD infused sunscreen.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're basically telling the American story, which is two entrepreneurs meeting each other at a music festival and deciding they should start a CBD sunscreen line.
That's cool. You're also quilting a national story,
yeah,
as well. Like, yeah, this isn't just in Colorado. This isn't just, it's all of us. This is happening everywhere. And different creative people are trying to figure out different creative ways to bring hemp to the marketplace, you know?
Yeah. And then some of the most interesting products are within that boutique space.
Definitely.
That, you know, a North Carolina hemp brand starting an infused skincare company.
Yeah.
They might be making the most interesting product on the market in that category or sector. You know, the thing that I'm fascinated with is the spagyric extraction process.
Yeah, yeah. I did a whole show about that. I pronounced it wrong the
great
entire time. I think I finally pronounced it correctly in the last 3 minutes of the episode. And now I go back and listen to it. I'm like, oh God.
When you get a really good product made with a spagyric extract,
yeah,
the ones I like basically take the spagyric extract and then they put it back into coconut oil.
Right.
I mean, that extract is so full spectrum, yeah, and it's so terpene rich.
And you
that,
can smell it. It's just like, yeah, big, natural smell. It's really
cool.
Yeah,
it's cool. Minty. It's yeah, like earthy. It's totally. Like chlorophyll-y. It's like fresh feeling.
Yeah, almost like basil meets like oregano type smell comes out of it. I love it. Absolutely love it. So did you have any pushback when you came to Amazon and were like, hey, I want to do, you know, expand this movie into a series. Are you guys interested? Was there any pushback at all? Or were they just like, yeah, let's do it?
So luckily enough, because I'm a filmmaker in the middle of this era of distribution that I like to call the streaming wars. Mm-hmm. Amazon.
Did you coin that, by the way? Is that yours, the streaming wars? Just take credit for it. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I said that first.
I will let you tell me that I said it first.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here on the Ministry of Hemp podcast.
We're in the streaming wars. Enjoy those movies. you know, so Amazon opened up this back door for filmmakers to basically self-release all of their work. And so when I released the film, I realized that there was the same way that I released it for Amazon Prime. I could do an episodic series, yeah, or I could do an actual channel that basically featured, I think, over 200 titles.
That's amazing.
And so I didn't have 200 titles. So I was like, let me try this episodic thing. And then I just want to basically film episodes every couple months and then try to release them every yeah, month or two. And so we're in the middle of that. I tried to release 3 new episodes, which are a little more controversial. And it's been 4 or 5 weeks. So they haven't posted yet. So I'm just waiting for that to post and trying to adjust some of the things because it might be controversial.
When you say controversial, yeah, what are we talking about? Hit me. I mean, you don't have to spoil anything. We want them to watch it, obviously. Oh no. So,
well, the next 3 episodes, one is just about a brand called Steep Fuse Coffee.
Okay.
And it just shows what they do is they are an infused coffee and tea CBD company.
Right.
And they also do white labeling for people. And they also make their own products.
Sure.
And so we just show their reality, which in infused beverages, infused foods are still a little bit, I think, controversial.
Big
but
time.
Not really, if you think about it, you know?
No, I mean, not at and all. But as far as the FDA is concerned, it's yeah, the most, it could be the most dangerous thing that's ever happened. You know,
yeah, it's exactly. Like,
hide your children, you know.
And then the other one that's a lot more controversial is we followed a gentleman who was diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, wow.
When he was working in a data recovery center in Utah, and so he was working on around a lot of hard drives,
wow,
a lot of stressful situations.
Yeah.
His team would do emergency relief for stuff like Hurricane Sandy.
Jesus.
For different businesses who like might be underwater but had to have all of their data collected.
Right.
And so he gets diagnosed with leukemia and he tries the traditional methods and he's about 1.5 years in and he decides that he just has to try something else. And so he has some friends in Colorado and so he decides to come out to Colorado because he has to get closer to the source of CBD
sure,
and of hemp extract.
Sure.
And so he comes out to Colorado and he starts a couple hemp businesses. And through those businesses, he ends up doing a lot of research and development into products that he used to basically help himself heal.
That is so cool. How do you connect with that story? Did you stumble upon this guy? Or like, how do you find the stories that you're making shows of?
I got really lucky for this one. My brother was a friend of Jamie. And so Jamie ended up starting a company called Canna Comforts.
Jamie's a guy that had leukemia. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Jamie ended up starting Canna Comforts with a group of people. And so he, you know, my brother knew him and then we just started talking and then Jamie wanted it to be filmed. And so we just had to decide the best way.
That's awesome.
And so what we did, because every episode can be different. It doesn't have to be a standardized format
right,
in a way.
Right.
So you'll have one episode on Pine Ridge and then you'll have another episode in Colorado with a young entrepreneur. And then you'll have Jamie's journey, which this is a 2-part series where Jamie filmed himself going through all of this.
Oh man.
on his cell phone.
Wow.
And so what we do is we basically interject Jamie's footage that he shot of himself into this larger story of how these businesses came together.
I assume that gets pretty intense sometimes.
It was a harder one to edit. It took me a lot longer to edit.
I'll bet.
Because you're questioning your humanity every second, every minute. And then also, he talks about his treatment. He talked about the different chemotherapies, the different painkillers, the different things for nausea and anxiety.
Right.
And just that journey. And so I tried not to make it political. I just focused on Jamie's journey.
Yeah, the
and
personal so we, story. Definitely.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And then in that way, so I think those are going to be even more exciting. And then my hope is I get to do a couple episodes in this California lab. And so they might be the first lab that in California that's processing hemp and then THC at the same time.
Oh, wow.
But they have totally separate facilities that have been licensed. But because of the place they're in California, the municipality supports. And then that one's called, I believe it's Case Pharma.
Okay.
And then it's Case Manufacturing.
Yeah, because that's really difficult right now. Like, we think of California as being very, just we'll call it green friendly, because they're pro THC and pro CBD, but they have made it very difficult for people working in the industry. Like, you can pick one and stay there. You can pick the other one and stay there. But if you try to come together, that's like completely wild west, unexplored territory for them right now, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it just goes to different states' legislation.
Right.
Because in a way, we had the THC reality, which came from medical marijuana states, recreational states, which basically allowed more research into the cannabis plant. And then the hemp legislation came in with those programs. And then now we're seeing the end result of having successful crops for a couple years.
Yeah.
And now we have to process it. But, you know, trying to keep them separate, because the THC side is definitely regulated more from the medical health department side.
Definitely.
With all of that stuff. Whereas the hemp is trying to be kept on the industrial agricultural side.
Yeah.
And so I think there's, you know, we're kind of seeing its evolution to its next phase.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to these next episodes. They sound amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm excited too. I mean, they were hard to edit, and then
I'm sure,
and then they were fun to release too. And then the hope is that when people see these episodes, what can happen is, if we partner with someone, then we take the episode and we edit it down
right
to like little clips, because then you can post, if it's a 20-minute episode, you can post 21-minute clips.
Yeah, totally.
And then those 1-minute clips can live on Instagram and then LinkedIn, and then they can help build your culture, but then also push people back to the Amazon Prime series.
Yeah, man. You've got this nailed down. That, like, was this,
I mean,
was
I
this
hope,
a learning
hope,
process, you know, or are you following a model, or is it just like, hey, this makes sense, let's do it this way?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's trying to see what works, but then also looking at what is available now.
Right.
And then also, I've worked in the advertising space with webisode content. So that's how the Steve Madden thing came about, because we were doing short webisode contents for Steve Madden.
That's cool.
And then from there, I was like, okay, there's a feature film idea here. So make a feature film on Steve Madden.
Yeah.
But in this case, I was like, let's make a feature film and then let's chop it into little episodic things that can be used for the brand's marketing.
Awesome.
And then also for the marketing of the film.
Yeah.
And then also the film idea was started, but within that, I started another idea with a group of friends. One was a hemp farmer and another one was a hemp farmer. And then a couple were computer engineer types.
Sure.
And it's a review-based website called Tortoise Mountain.
Okay.
And so we just realized that there were all these products being made and no one could talk about their products in the way that they wanted to.
Right.
So if there was a media company, then media companies like Ministry of Hemp
right.
could basically talk about things that they like as a third party endorsement.
Exactly.
And then just help people find it and then communicate the education and the information. And so we just experimented with that. We started doing video reviews, and then we started getting a lot of samples, and then we realized not all products are great.
Yeah.
And so what we decided is that we would only review good products.
That's kind of where we're at too, where it's like,
yeah.
And it's not, I mean, the idea is you could probably get more clicks by trashing stuff, honestly, but that doesn't do anybody any favors. You know what I mean? And if we're trying to educate and we're trying to get a message out there, then maybe picking the best, you know, of the best that are out there, the people that are doing it right, and saying, hey, steer towards this way. Maybe not that CBD shit you see in the gas station, you know?
Because you just don't know.
Right.
You know? And when you're paying such a premium price, and when the price wars are kind of happening within CBD, and then we're having a price shift happening, which, you know, trying not to have the quality shifts while the price shifts.
Absolutely. Because you give someone, I'll try it. I'm going to throw $90 on this bottle, and it doesn't do anything for them. Guess what? They're not going to spend $90 again, even on the best shit in the world. They're going to say, nope, I got burned. I'm out. You know, so getting people good information, steering them to the right place. I mean, it sounds like you're on the same page that we are. So,
and I think it's hard because a lot of these bigger brands, which there are some wonderful big brands that make a wonderful quality product.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're the ones who have more of the marketing dollars.
Right.
And so trying to support the little brand and the mid-level brand in a way that allows consumers to find them, but then there has to be some way for Ministry of Hemp or even Tortoise Mountain to make money. And so we've tried to figure that out, but really it's, you know, a way that we can keep doing media that's more educational, and it's not quite the Amazon Prime series, but then we can release 1 minute clips as opposed to a 10 or a 15 or a 20 minute episode.
And again, that all points back to the films that you're making. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, and it's partnerships, because I think one thing I've noticed in filming the hemp industry growing is there are people who want to operate hard and fast, and there are people who are kind of building for the long term.
Yeah.
And I think the media companies understand build for the long term, and then let's build the culture of the space.
Right.
And then I think the brands that are going to last are going to have that long term, you know, benefit to kind of their partnerships, and then they'll put sustainability there.
Right. Without a doubt.
You know?
The guys that are infusing CBD in your sunglass lenses and stuff, they're probably not going to be around. So
don't buy the CBD mattress. Buy the CBD mattress.
Yeah, you don't
put
need
the
it.
CBD inside of you.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, thank you for your time, man. This has been fantastic. And we're looking forward to more episodes. We'll have links to the episodes, of course, in the show notes and whatnot. But thanks for joining me here on Ministry of Hemp Podcast, man.
I just appreciate everything you guys do to build the hemp space.
Thank you.
You guys are a really great media outlet.
We're working hard.
And I know how hard it is. So, like, I appreciate the time, and literally, thank you for everything you do.
Right on. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
It's good.
You can find links to Josh's movies, American Hemp, and his series at Amazon Prime, American Hemp, The Evolution Continues, and links to his Tortoise Mountain site, all in the notes for this episode. We find ourselves at the end of another Ministry of Hemp podcast, but there's plenty of Ministry of Hemp to keep you busy. In the meantime, follow us on all of our social media, /Ministry of Hemp or @Ministry of Hemp. We're everywhere. And if you want to partner with us like Pure Hemp Botanicals did, shoot us an email to info@ministryofhemp.com, and we'd love to work with you. If you have hemp questions that you would like to hear answered on the show, you can shoot me an email to matt@ministryofhemp.com or call us at 402-819-6417 and leave your hemp-related questions. The editor-in-chief of ministryofhemp.com, Kit O'Connell, and myself do Q&A sessions every once in a while, and we just did one last episode. It was a lot of fun, so if you missed that, check it out. Also, like I brought up in the beginning of the show, head over to ministryofhemp.com, check out our new CBD oil guide. I cannot stress how much good information is in that new reworked guide. If you dig this show and you like the message that we're spreading and you love ministryofhemp.com, then please head to patreon.com/ministryofhemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. You get all sorts of extra stuff like podcast extras. We'll have one this week with Josh and I talking about young filmmakers working in an age where they seem to have more freedom and more ability to get their art out to the populace than ever before. It's a really cool conversation, so I hope you check it out. Thank you to everyone that has already donated. And if you haven't, check us out at Patreon. I cannot tell you how much it helps us to spread the good word of hemp. At the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for everyone, so you will find a full written transcript for this show in the notes as well. For now, it's time for me to get out of here, and I like to end the show the same way every time. Remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will ya? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.